Amen. Am I on? Okay. We'll find out for sure. Also heard that today's a special day. Today is Pastor Craig's birthday. So I'm not going to lead out in singing, but if someone feels like we'd like to sing Happy Birthday. Amen. He's reached that wonderful age of 30. And many, many more to come. Great man of God, as I have discovered over the past year or so since I've been here. He and his wife both, you really have a treasure here as they are your pastors. So I pray that you appreciate them. Today and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the parable of the soil. Now, I know most people call it the parable of the sower, but as we go through this parable, we're going to see that it's really about the condition of the soil that makes all the difference in the world as to if the seed produces or not. So I'd like to... you know, when you read your Bible and you see those headings, those are just put in there by translators and stuff. So I can change it to parable of soil without changing the word of God. And we'll go from there. So we're going to be in Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And we'll read 4 through 18 to introduce us to this parable. I find it interesting that Jesus taught this way. You know, crowds of people would gather around, and he would open up with these strange stories. They related to the people. They understood. They're an agricultural people, population, culture, so forth and so on. So they could relate to what he was talking about. But I just, as I looked at this, I thought, what a strange story to tell. But as we go through it, I'm hoping that we will see the significance of it, because I don't think Jesus wasted words. Amen. Amen. So let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And it, to me, struck me as another strange thing to say. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's his way of saying, listen up. What I'm about to say, what I'm about to teach, is extremely important. And it's important for them at that time to get it, and it's important for us in our day and age to get it. Verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." That's another issue that we're going to deal with in this. It sounds like Jesus is saying he doesn't want some people to hear the word of God, but that's not really what this is saying, and we'll talk about that. Now the parable is this. So he's going to tell us what the parable is about. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. That's another thing that strikes me as odd. We need to take a look at that and see what Jesus was saying by that. But he says, take care how you hear. And what I want to talk about this morning to introduce this is that phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we'll talk about that. But we have this parable, and we have some aspects or ingredients in the parable. We have the sower, we have seed, we have soil, we have external conditions, and we have the harvest. The sower is the proclamation of the word. Jesus said that the seed is the word of God. And so you have a sower who is sowing the word of God. We're sowing the word of God this morning. Pastor Craig sowed a word from God last week. You sow the word when you share your faith with others. You sow the word when you read the scriptures and think on them and meditate on them. So there's various ways in which the word is sown, but there has to be a sower that is proclaiming the word of God. And we can do that by personally sowing it into our own life, by studying and reading the scriptures, and then, of course, obeying the word. Then we have the seed. And Luke says just plainly, the seed is the word of God. So there's no mystery there. The seed is the word of God. The seed is perfect. The word of God is perfect. There's no flaw. There's no defect with the seed. The soil is what the issue is, and that's why I called it the parable of the sower. Matthew's gospel said that the seed is the word of the kingdom. And so we have this word, this gospel, this word of God, that it comes to us in seed form. And we need to be able to plant it in our hearts or help plant it in the hearts of others. The soil is the human heart. And the parable is about the soil. It's about the human heart, the condition of the human heart. Various ones today mentioned about keeping our hearts open today to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so whether that's through worship or just what God is speaking to you privately in your spirit as we are in his presence today, but the soil is the human heart, and this is a parable about sore. You know, my mouth is real dry. I took an antihistamine before. Is there a water that I could get? And then there's external conditions. And the scriptures talked about, you know, rocky places or hard soil or the sun scorching. And there was external conditions that bore down on the seed and the soil to make the seed and the soil either available to receive the seed. Thank you. Or to reject the seed. Amen. And then we have the harvest. The harvest basically is the maturity in one's understanding and walk with God. The seed wants to bear fruit. The seed will always bear fruit when it's planted in good soil. The seed will always do its work when it's planted in good soil, because the seed is perfect and the seed is the word of God. So we have this saying in Luke 8:8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, we all have ears, and unless we have a problem with our hearing and so forth, you know, we all have ears to hear. You're hearing my voice today. But are you hearing what's being said? And we haven't gone into any depth or anything yet. But are you hearing? Are you listening? You know, you do that with your children. You know, are you listening to me? You know, do you hear what I'm saying? And you can tell when they are, because they'll do what you ask them to do. Amen. Hearing has one of the nuances of that word, both from the Hebrew and the Greek, has this concept of obeying. So we know that we've heard when we put that word into action, when we obey that word. We know that it's landed in good soil when it becomes a part of us and defines us, and we put it into action. We hear it, we act on it. It's like when you first came to Christ, you heard the word of the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, defeating death, having paid the price for sin, and your sin and my sin. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, demonstrating his victory over the principalities and the powers. And that word does absolutely no good to us unless we act on it. Unless we take it into our being and we receive it and we believe on it and we act on it and receive what Jesus has done for us. Isn't that right? And for the rest of you who don't agree, that's okay. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The whole idea of hearing just within the parable is mentioned 7 times. If you read the book of Revelation, it's repeated quite a bit. You know, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the kingdom of God is about hearing the word of God. We know that the kingdom of God is present in our midst because the word is being sown. And we need to respond to it, and we need to hear the word. Then in Luke 8:18, first of all, the word here has a few defining terms here. It means to hearken, to listen to heed. And they're all kind of, like I say, different nuances of the word. It means to obey. It means to understand. You know, we can hear something, but not necessarily understand what we're hearing. You know, my wife and I, communication is a big deal for married people. In any relationship, to hear the other person and understand what it is that they're saying. Not just hear words come out and go, yes, dear, you know, but actually respond and hear what they're saying and act on them and to understand what it is that they're saying. So hearing means to understand. It means to obey. It means to listen to. And he says in Luke 8:18, it says, take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. The NIV says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. In the verse, the full verse in Luke 8:18 says, take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. And we'll get into that as we go along. But the idea here is, he says to take care how we hear. Consider carefully how you listen. Even this morning, there's nothing grand about any speaker that speaks. You know, hopefully any speaker that speaks is focused on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that makes any message worth listening to. And these are the words of Jesus, so I think, you know, we really need to listen. Jesus is saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what this, well, let him hear. Because this was very important, this parable. And so consider carefully how we listen. So today let's consider carefully what's being said. You know, last week's message, I don't know about you, but that was just such a tremendous message. And maybe for some it was just another message that Pastor Craig spoke. But for me, I really heard what was being said. And the idea of looking that far into the future for the new heavens and the new earth and how that affects my present day living, or at least should affect my present day living, that word stuck with me. And hopefully, when the Word of God sticks with you, not hopefully, it transforms you. You know, the Bible says to be renewed in your mind, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And to, when I begin to think in those terms, it'll transform you. So anyway, we need to listen, no matter who's speaking, no matter how, or when you're reading the scriptures or studying the scriptures out for yourself or whatever it is, whatever way that sowing is occurring. We need to consider carefully how we're listening. Hearing needs to be done intentionally. It's not a passive activity to be involved with the Word of God. It's an intentional activity. And even devotionally, when we read the scriptures devotionally, you know, we need to hear. We need to intentionally hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in that Word. And God will speak to our hearts. The Christian needs to purpose to hear and understand the Word of God. And that means sometimes that we have to stop and take a look at a passage or a truth that we may have heard that makes sense, but we need to know it a little bit more. We need to understand it more so that we can apply it to our lives. And you notice that the seed that fell on the path, Jesus interpreted that as a heart that, you know, was, he didn't use the term hardened, but this enemy came, Satan came, and immediately stole the word. And he's looking to do that all the time. As we are listening carefully, there are times that he will try to steal that word from your mind and your heart. And so that's why we have to, this is not passive activity. This is, we are engaging our minds. We are engaging our hearts. We are engaging our attention because it's God's word to us. Real hearing is not passive activity. One must engage the word being taught or read by meditating, praying, giving it time, acting on it right away. One of the best ways to, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but myself will catch up eventually. I always got a kick of that phrase, you know, I'm beside myself. You know, I often wonder, how does that happen? What are the logistics of that, you know? I don't know why I do that. I'm sorry. I just... Anyway, meditating the Word of God. Josh 1:8 is a very familiar passage to us. And it reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." That's sowing seed. That's listening carefully to the Word by meditating on it. And God was instructing Joshua how to go in and take the land and how to live in the land, the promised land. And he was saying that you need to meditate on these things day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Or in other words, the word will produce. The seed will bear fruit, either 30, 60, or 100-fold. So meditating on the word. And that meditation is the act of thoughtful deliberation with the implication of speaking to oneself. What? It's thoughtful deliberation. You're interacting with this thing. You're asking yourself questions. You're asking God questions. You're interacting with it. What is the meaning of this? You know, how do I apply this to my life? And you can actually, the meditating can involve talking to yourself about it, you know, and talking to God, and just let that be a mixture of events that are happening in your quiet time with the Lord. You're reading this thing, you're talking about it, you're talking with God, you're talking to yourself about it. But that's the act of meditation, and it's the act of sowing that seed and keeping it in your soil until understanding begins to come. Amen? Amen. Then it goes on to say, the one who has, more will be given. You see, growing in the knowledge of the Lord is a process. Truth comes to us in seed form. New ideas and concepts are introduced to us, whatever they may be. And we have to take those truths and those concepts, and then we have to dig further to understand it even more. And in the secular, that's why you go to school from K through 12. They're building, as the scripture talks about, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, you don't get it all at one time, and it's true with the scriptures. A truth will come as you're studying the Word of God, or you hear a preacher preach, or you're in a class on intercession on Monday nights, or you're in the other class on Monday mornings, and you hear a truth, and it's coming to you, it's coming in a seed form, and you have to think about that. You have to meditate on that. And the more that you do, more will be given. More understanding will be given. We're to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and in growing in that knowledge, it's a process. It takes time. It takes a commitment on our part to the Word of God. And so truth is built upon truth. In Luke 13, verses 18 through 19, he said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like?" And we need to always perk up our ears when we hear that phrase, the kingdom of God. Jesus says that a lot. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like a man who, the kingdom of God is like a woman who, you know, we need to perk up and listen, because that's, he's teaching us about the nature of God's kingdom. Amen. But he says, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. So here you have a seed, and the scriptures say it's a tiniest seed, but I don't believe that it is, present-day understanding. But it's just a little seed that was sown, but it grew up to be a tree. And so truth is like that. It's a seed that is sown, and it may be just a tiny inkling of Oh, wow. That's what God means by that. Or that's what Jesus did for me. Or that's what that means. Or whatever it is. And then you sow it. You continue to sow it. You continue to feed it. You continue to nourish it. You continue to study it out. You continue to pray over it. So forth and so on. And in time, that one truth will grow up and mature and become a part of your life. It'll transform you in that particular area of your life, whatever that may be. You know, let's just take a simple example of the love of God. When I first got saved, I struggled with that idea that God could love me. Because a lot of people said, Jerry, I can't love you. So, no, I'm just kidding. But I just struggled with that concept that God could actually love me, let alone forgive me. But the truth came to me in seed form. I heard that God loved me, that he sent his son to die for me, and so forth and so on. And I had to feed on that. I had to feed on that. I had to study that out, and it continued to grow in me more and more and more until I'm absolutely convinced, and I know in my knower, and no one can shake it off of me, no one can take it away from me. I know that God loves me. Amen? And that can be any area in your life, any truth that's in the Word of God. And you might have trouble grasping it at first, but as a seed, it will grow as you provide good soil for it to grow in. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24, this is his version of the parable of the soil. And he said it this way, pay attention to what you hear. Luke said, pay attention to how you hear. And Mark is just simply saying, pay attention to what you hear. So what you're listening to. I would suggest, and this may not be necessarily what Mark was getting at, but I would suggest that we need to be careful what we're listening to. And there's a lot of things out there called Christian that may not be. And so that's why it's important to sit under the teaching of a good pastor and a good teaching ministry in the church that you're in and have some solid teaching going on around you, because there's a lot out there that just isn't. It's called Christian, but it isn't, and I could give various examples, but I won't do that this morning. But it says to pay attention to what we're hearing, and so hopefully as we hear the good word, the good seed, we pay attention to that. It goes on to say in Mark 4:24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. He uses this phraseology in different situations. He used it one time at the end of another teaching, in regards to loving our enemies and so forth and so on. But the idea is, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, this idea of sowing and reaping. What's he talking about here? Well, I believe he's talking about the measure that we use to pay attention is how it'll be measured back to us in understanding. And so again, it does matter. It's not a passive activity when it comes to the Word of God. The measure that we're not earning, you know, okay, God, I've spent all this time studying this, now you owe me. That's not the point. It's just the dynamics of the kingdom and how the kingdom works. That the more that we engage in the particular Word of God and particular truth that we're investigating, the measure that we use to attend to it is the measure that is used to bring return from it. So it's, again, important. With the measure of attention you use, the measure of understanding is given, still more would be added to you. It's kind of like that portion of scripture we read about the mustard seed. It was small, but yet as it was attended in good soil, it grew up to become a tree in the garden. So it matters whether we pay attention or don't pay attention. So sometimes you can go to church for years on end, and we've become passive listeners. We're not really, really, really hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church or to us individually. We're just kind of going through the motions. And folks, no condemnation. It's easy to be like that. It's easy to get to that place because we're still dealing with the natural man. We've been born again, and the Spirit of God is within us, and we have a brand new spirit, a brand new inner man, but we still have natural man tendencies. And sometimes the natural man just kind of is lazy. Actually, the scriptures say that the natural man is enmity towards God. It's an enemy towards God. So, you know, we just need to be a people that pays attention and purposely do that. If your spiritual life seems to be just high and dry, well, I'm just not getting anything. I'm just not whatever. You know, you have to change your approach to listening. You know, sometimes, especially in this charismatic world, and which has bled into the evangelicals and other churches and so forth and so on. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be engaged in the things of the Spirit. You know, I'm not denying that at all. It's just wonderful. We all look for that. We all have this ideal, man, if God really showed up, this is what church would look like. How do we know that? Amen. As far as I'm concerned, God showed up already. Amen. It says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in your midst. We're talking God's word right now, and it's a Spirit-led word. So, you know, we have various concepts in our mind as to, you know, how we think things should really go and stuff, but we need to be careful about that and listen and be in tune with the Word of God as it's being preached and taught. What are we to know from carefully listening? What is it that we need to know? And I believe that the most important is, and this is a general, it's kind of a general thing. Oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. I got 15 more pages. What we are carefully listening for is the knowledge of the kingdom of God. In Luke 8, verse 10, Jesus said to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." That's what we're after, to know the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom work? What is the nature of the kingdom? Jesus came to be king over a kingdom. And that kingdom is the kingdom of God. Jesus inaugurated the kingdom when he came. The kingdom of God is here and now, but it's yet to come in its fullness. The kingdom of God is operating on the earth. Do we know how it operates? Do we understand the nature of the kingdom of God and how, as citizens of that kingdom, how are we to live? How is that compared to the kingdoms of this world? Amen. He said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom." And he kind of summed up what he was trying to teach there in that parable. A secret is just something that remains to be secret until it's revealed, until a revelation is given. And that's exactly what God wants to do, is reveal the nature of his kingdom to us. That's what the parable of the sower is trying to tell us. If you provide some good soil, and you're going to understand the things of God. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I've probably read this before, I'm not sure, but one of my favorite sets of scripture, passage of scripture. But starting in 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation just means revealing that which has been hidden. Revealing the secrets of the kingdom. It means an uncovering of the things of the kingdom of God. The book of Revelation, it comes from a Greek word, apocalyptic, or close to that. It has, you know, various nuances in that particular word. But it just means an unveiling, a revealing. Revelations is about the revealing of Jesus Christ at his second coming. Amen. So Paul prays, he could pray for anything for the Ephesians, but what he's praying is that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of our hearts or soul enlightened that we may know. Now listen to what it is that he wants us to know. That we may know what is the hope to which he has called you or called us. So he wants us to understand the fullness of that hope to which he's called us to. He wants us to understand what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Notice it doesn't say the riches of our inheritance. He wants us to understand what he inherited in the saints and grasp that. And in grasping that, I think we would appreciate more one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And he wants us to know and reveal to us what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He wants us to grasp that, to understand what does all that mean. Boy, that was a mouthful. That was a long sentence. Paul had a tendency of writing really long sentences. I think he spoke until he ran out of breath, and then they put a period. You know, and then he went at it again. For, well, actually, they didn't have grammar as such that way. But do you get what he's saying here? He's praying that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of these things that he just spoke about. He's praying that the seed of the gospel, which is all of these things that he spoke about, would so mature that we would have an understanding of that and we would see the nature of God's kingdom. And of course, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to understand that. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the things of God to us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. So that's one more aspect of having good soil, is the fact that we do have the Holy Spirit within us to teach us all things. And we need to learn how to cultivate his presence and cultivate that hearing as he speaks to us through his word. Would you look at Colossians chapter 1, and I'll quit here in a minute or two or three. You know, what does it mean when preachers take their watches off and lays it on the pulpit? Absolutely nothing. So I quit doing that. I just don't even bother doing that. Paul goes on to say, and it's a prayer similar to the one he prayed for the church at Ephesus. He says, "And so from the days we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Remember, the seed fell in an understanding heart. And Paul is praying that they'd be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And he goes on, that we would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance with patience, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So you get the idea. Very important to Paul for us to be able to understand, you know, these things, the nature of God's kingdom and the nature of the redemptive work that Jesus Christ did and what he accomplished. And all of that comes to us in seed form, and the Holy Spirit grants to us understanding as we pray these prayers for yourself. Pray them. I started doing that when I first came across these scriptures. I saw them, and the light went off, and a revelation came, and I started praying that, Lord, grant to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was the beginning of the, even, you know, sometimes we talk about having a hunger for the Lord and a hunger for his word. That was the beginning, because things just started to open up. Understanding started to come, and not just solo from the scripture and, you know, I'm getting all these truths and I don't need anybody else. It was, you know, I'd get it from good commentaries, I'd get it from good preachers and teachers, and they're all confirming different things. You know, I get it from scholars that know the language and whatever. So, but it was just amazing. And when I preached that message a little while back about that one parable about the guy that comes at midnight, and, you know, the whole idea of a question mark and this and that, whatever, it was just amazing the way I felt the Lord opened up the understanding of that. And that's how it is. It's, man, I love that. I just love that. I just, you know, again, if you're high and dry right now and you're looking for the church to provide you with, you know, your fix, that's okay. But really, if you want to delve into the presence of the Lord, pray that prayer over your life and keep praying it until things start popping when you're doing your own studies or you're studying the sermon or whatever it is. And it's just, it's life-giving. Because the word of God is life. That seed is life. The seed contains everything that's needed to produce the fruit. It just needs to be put in good soil. The word of God, that seed, contains everything that's needed for an understanding of the things of God. The word of God is life. It says your word is spirit and life. And that word life is Zoe. And it's talking about God's life, his kind of life. And so the word of God itself is life, and it brings life to us as we study. I have a few more pages, and I can't finish this. So let me read one more scripture that's 20 pages long. And look at Matthew 7. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The nice thing about being able to do a three-week series is we'll be able to pick up on some of this stuff and continue and hopefully get through it. Amen. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus says this at the end of the teaching of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And he calls this out, and he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, that's key to developing good soil, is acting on the word, doing it, and applying it to your life as quickly as possible, and because that'll keep that path from becoming hardened and not conducive to seed bearing, putting good roots and stuff down in. But everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And this is similar to the seed going down into good soil. It's been founded on a solid foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we all get that idea, you know, building on sand, you know. It's just going to wash away. And it matters, the condition of our heart. If we walk away with something today, let's walk away with the idea that the seed of God's word is just that. It starts to, truth starts in seed form. It needs to be developed in our life. We need to provide good soil. One of the ways of providing good soil is by acting on the word as quickly as possible, praying for revelation of that truth, amen, and meditating on the word. Allow it to just mull it over and mull it over. Even if you don't get it completely, just keep mulling it over, and it'll eventually come. And you'll get that revelation and that truth. No one can take it away from you once you have it. Let me read a quote. If the worship team would like to come up, I'll read this quote as they come. This parable and its interpretation. This is by a guy by the name of Snodgrass. He's a scholar. And I thought, you know, I think I'd change my name. Unless, of course, there's anybody in here that's your last name, Snodgrass. But I thought Dish was bad. But Snodgrass. I had a hard time taking him serious at first, but he's a good scholar, and he really knows his stuff. So, and if he ever hears this tape, I'm in a lot of trouble. This parable and its interpretation are important because they give the most extended treatment of the reception of the Word of God. The kingdom is a kingdom of the word, and the parable is a parable about receiving that word. To be a disciple of the kingdom means hearing and remaining focused on the message of the kingdom in such a way that one is defined by it. The key to spiritual formation is the willingness to listen, the practice of discipline of listening and responding appropriately to the received word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and all of it from Genesis to Revelation. And Father, we hunger and we thirst after you. And we thank you that you're right there in your word. And that you've given us the Spirit of the living God to help us understand what it is you're teaching us. The depths of your heart, the nature of your kingdom. We want to walk in your ways. It was said of Israel that they knew God and they knew his acts, but Moses knew your ways. And Lord, we want to be a people that know your ways. Help us as we listen to your word over the next couple of weeks. Teach us how to develop good soil. That the seed of your word would always fall on good soil and we'd be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow you in a way that's pleasing to you. And I ask these things in the blessed, holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.